I'm going to start with a question. Where do you live? More specifically, do you live in a house, an apartment, duplex, or condo? Where we live has a lot to do with what grabs our attention. In some ways, where we live determines what we think about. And what we think about, more often than not, determines what we do. Let me explain. If you live in an apartment, you most likely have a landlord. If your kitchen faucet is leaking, you call the landlord to get the faucet fixed. But if you own a house and you live in that house, you are the landlord. So it's up to you to figure out who will take care of the leaky faucet. And that's just the place you call home. Then there's the neighborhood. Unless you own a large piece of land, your home most likely is near other houses, apartments, duplexes, or condos. So outside your home are cars, kids, and other distractions. Again, what happens in the neighborhood grabs your attention, and the neighborhood turns your mind this way and that, and what you think about more often determines what you do. We'll come back to that a little later. Let's turn to our text for this morning, Colossians 3, 1 through 3. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. The New International Version, English Standard Version, and New American Standard Bible all translate verse 2 with the words, set your mind, or set your minds on the things above, not the things of earth. We all know that what it means when someone says, Joe has his mind set on a new car, or Linda has her mind set on vacationing in Hawaii. What it means when you set your mind on something is that's what you think about constantly. You either can't or won't stop thinking about it. Why is Paul encouraging the Colossian Christ followers to set their sights and minds on the realities of heaven, not the things of earth? He is reminding them of an essential truth. This truth is connected to their relationship with Christ, and their relationship with Christ is key to how they and we should live. And of course, when we read this reminder to the Colossian Christians, we should recognize that we too need to be reminded of this truth. The truth that Paul is reminding the Colossian Christ followers and us of is the truth of their and our citizenship. This citizenship is in heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. In Philippians 3:20, Paul says, we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. Jesus, although he does not use the word citizenship, refers to this truth in his prayer for his disciples, recorded in John 17. He says that the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, and they do not belong to this world any more than I do. Verses 14 and 16. The writer of the letter to the Hebrews says, this world is not our permanent home. We are looking forward to a home yet to come. Chapter 13, verse 14. We do not belong to this world. We are citizens of heaven. Our text says, think about, or set your minds on, the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Living Hope Church, every committed follower of Christ has been raised to new life with Christ. We should think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For we died to this life, and our real life is hidden with Christ in God. The beginning of our text says, set your sights on the realities of heaven. Let's look at some of these realities. One reality of heaven is our house. Does the Bible say anything about our house or room in heaven? Yes, it does. At the Last Supper, Jesus says to his disciples, there is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? John 14, 2. Whether it's a separate room, a house, or a separate room, we don't know. But Jesus reassures us, he reassures his disciples, that there is a place for them, and by extension for us, with him and with his Father. Jesus adds the following, when everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. John 14, 3. Have you ever wondered why Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you? I've wondered about that. The answer may be found in ancient Jewish wedding customs. Yes, you heard right. I said ancient wedding Jewish customs. There are three distinct parts to the ancient Jewish wedding. The first, shidduchah, is mutual commitment. The second, irusin, engagement, and the third, nishu, or marriage. The first part, the shidduchah, is a formal promise to marry at some future date. This promise is made in writing. The second part of the Jewish wedding is the irusin, or the engagement. The engagement period usually lasted a year. During the engagement period, the groom prepared a place for his bride. While the bride focused on her personal preparations, wedding garments, lamps, etc., although the bride knew to expect her groom after about a year, she did not know the exact day or hour. He could come earlier. It was the father of the groom who gave final approval for him to return to collect his bride. The third part of the ancient Jewish wedding is the nishu, or the actual wedding feast and wedding night. When Jesus says he is going to prepare a place for us, and that when everything is ready, he will come and get us, he may be referring to the wedding customs that were no doubt familiar to his disciples. Throughout the New Testament, Jesus is referred to as a bridegroom. For example, John the Baptist said, "I am not the Messiah. I am only here to prepare the way for him." It is the bridegroom who marries the bride, and the bridegroom's friend is simply glad to stand with him and hear his vows. John 3:28-29. The Apostle Paul refers to the church at Corinth as the bride of Christ. "I promised you as a pure bride to one husband, Christ." 2 Corinthians 11:2. From what Jesus says at the beginning of John 14, the implication is that Jesus, the groom, is going to prepare a place for us, his bride. When everything is ready, he will come to get us and take us to the place he has prepared for us. To summarize, our citizenship is not on this earth. We are citizens of heaven. Paul exhorts us to set our sights on the realities of heaven. And one reality of heaven is our house. Another reality of heaven is our neighborhood. Neighborhoods are found in cities. Our neighborhood is in a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God, Hebrews 11:10. This city is the New Jerusalem. Here is John's description of the city as shown to him by an angel. "So he took me in the spirit to a great high mountain, and he showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God and sparkled like a precious stone, like jasper as clear as crystal. The city wall was broad and high, with 12 gates guarded by 12 angels. And the names of the 12 tribes of Israel were written on the gates. There were 3 gates on each side, east, north, south, and west. The wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were written the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked to me held in his hand a gold measuring stick to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. When he measured it, he found it was a square as wide as it was long. In fact, its length and width and height were each 1,400 miles. Then he measured the walls and found them to be 216 feet thick, according to the human standard used by the angel. The wall was made of jasper, and the city was pure gold, as clear as glass. The wall of the city was built on foundation stones inlaid with 12 precious stones. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third, agate, the fourth, emerald, the fifth, onyx, the sixth, carnelian, the seventh, chrysolite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, topaz, the tenth, chrysoprase, the 11th, jacinth, the 12th, amethyst. The 12 gates were made of pearls. Each gate from a single pearl, and the main street was pure gold, as clear as glass. I saw no temple in the city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of sun or moon, for the glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb is its light. The nations will walk in its light, and the kings of the world will enter the city in all their glory. Its gates will never be closed at the end of day, because there is no night there. And all the nations will bring their glory and honor into the city. Nothing evil will be allowed to enter, nor anyone who practices shameful idolatry and dishonesty, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me a river with the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. It flowed down the center of the main street. On each side of the river grew a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, with a fresh crop each month. The leaves were used for medicine to heal the nations. No longer will there be a curse upon anything, for the throne of God and of the Lamb will be there, and his servants will worship him, and they will see his face, and his name will be written on their foreheads. And there will be no night there, no need for lamps or sun, for the Lord God will shine on them, and they will reign forever and ever. Revelation 21, 10 through 27, and 22, 1 through 5. Our neighborhood is somewhere in this city. The city has walls and gates, the ultimate gated community. It is guarded by 12 angels. The city is huge. Its length and width and height are each 1,400 miles. That's the distance between Denver and Seattle. Have you ever heard of a city that big? There are no streetlights in the city because the glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb is its light. There are no locks on the doors of your house. There are no bars on the windows, no security systems, no burglar alarms, because nothing evil is allowed into the city. There are no police cars, no fire trucks, no ambulances, no sirens, no hospitals, no prisons. There is no neighborhood watch. We've talked about two realities of heaven: the house prepared by Jesus especially for each of us, and the city and neighborhood where we will live. The third reality of heaven I want to talk to you about is our neighbors. The description of our neighborhood included some of the people who will not be our neighbors, as well as a general description of those who will be our neighbors. First, those who won't be our neighbors. Anyone who practices shameful idolatry and dishonesty. Revelation 21, 27. The New International Version translates this verse as, "Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful." The Good News translation says, "Nor anyone who does shameful things or tells lies." None of these people will be our neighbor. Now for those who will be our neighbors. The last part of verse 27 tells us that only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be our neighbors. P.G. Matthew states that if it is true that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, when you hear the gospel, you will believe in Jesus Christ. You will call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. If it is not true of you, you will never bow your knees before God and confess his name. You will die in your sins. Revelation 20, 11 through 15 describes what some people call the Great White Throne Judgment. It is also called the Final Judgment. And I saw a great white throne and one sitting on it. The earth and sky fled from his presence, but they found no place to hide. I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne, and the books were opened, including the Book of Life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up its dead, and death and the grave gave up their dead, and all were judged according to their deeds. Then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is the second death, and anyone whose name was not found recorded in the Book of Life was thrown into the lake of fire. Anyone who has invited Jesus Christ into his or her life to be his or her forgiver and leader has his or her name written in the Book of Life. These people will be neighbors in the New Jerusalem. The most important neighbor we will have is God himself. Listen to Revelation 21:3. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them." This is a truth that is hard to come to grips with. God Almighty, our sovereign, giver of life, most holy Lord, Savior and Redeemer of mankind, the one who is, who was, and is to come, will be our neighbor. Here are some other people who will be our neighbors. Those who had been beheaded for their testimony about Jesus and for proclaiming the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or his statue, nor accepted his mark on their foreheads or their hands. Revelation 24. Among our neighbors will be 144,000 people from the tribes of Israel, marked with the seal of God. Revelation 7:4. Other neighbors of ours will come from every nation and tribe and people and language. Revelation 7:9. Finally, some of our neighbors will be those who died in the Great Tribulation, Revelation 7:14. So here we have it. Three realities of heaven: our house, our neighborhood, and our neighbors. And this brings me to the following question. is what I've discussed this morning, just pie in the sky by and by? No. What I've shared with you is not some fantasy. It is real. This may be hard to accept, but is more real than the chair you are sitting on or the food you will have for lunch. The key question is, what have you set your mind on? What occupies your thoughts? Paul tells us that we have died to this life, and our real life is hidden with Christ in God. Do we believe this? Have we set our sights on the realities of heaven? Our text says, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Do we have our minds set on the pandemic and whether or not we are safe? Do we have our minds set on primarily what we hear and see on the news? The Apostle Paul encourages us to set our minds on the things of heaven, not the things of earth. How do we turn our thoughts from the things of earth to the realities of heaven? Listen to what Paul tells the Christians in Rome. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by the way you think. Romans 12:2. If your mind is set on what you see and hear in the news, ask God to help you turn away from that and set your mind on His realities. Ask for His help in lifting your sights to His realities. Then take a break from the news. Stop reading or watching the news for a while. Instead, use the time you would have watched or read the news to read and meditate on Revelation chapter 4. Next, look for opportunities to share God's good news. Start by encouraging someone close to you. Pick up the phone and reach out to a friend or a neighbor. Finally, ask God to put in your mind the name of a person who has not responded positively to God's love. Then, begin to pray for that person. Also, ask God to show you how to love that person and to give you an opportunity to share your testimony with him or her. Who knows? When God takes you to your new neighborhood in heaven, this person may turn out to be one of your neighbors.